does God care if we are in shape? Yeah, he wants us to use the bodies that we have, but sometimes our bodies can't do a lot in the world's view, and yet we still can make an impact. Joni Erickson Tada made a much bigger impact in this world than I'm ever going to make, and she was in a wheelchair for the majority of her adult life. And so I think that's also the thing, is God can use us whatever shape, condition we're in, either because of things we've done or accidents or just how we were born into this world. God can use us. Are we, and it's just, how do we take care of our bodies so that we can be a blessing to others? And so I just thought of Joni's life and just what a blessing she was for so many and an inspiration for so many. Yeah. It was just a beautiful thing.
Work with what God gave you, right?
Like, betcha. Hi, I'm Pastor Kendall.
And I'm Pastor Mo, and we are Unpacking Truths,
where we unpack God's word and God's truth for life today.
Everyone is seeking, and we are here to help you find hope and power in God's word.
Well, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Who's come up with these crazy topics that we're talking about here?
Oh, what are you blaming me? What are
I
we
am
at?
Blaming
what are,
you.
It could possibly, you might not be off.
I might what not be it? Off. At some point, I want to get some of my questions in here too that I think people are asking, because today's topic, I don't know. We'll see. But the topic that we have before us is, does God care if we are out of shape?
Oh.
This is not one that I came up with, everyone.
Well, you know what?
I'm just trying to speak into it.
Under the bus I go. Yes. I thought it was good and relevant because, you know, we live in a culture where people care so much about what they look like physically, their health. I mean, it's a billion-dollar business. So why
multi-billion.
So not 1 billion. But so why should we not be talking about it and see what God has to say about our health, being healthy, what that looks like, our bodies physically, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for you to say something that's going to get you in trouble.
I know. That's what I'm afraid of. It could get me in trouble. So but you're right. I mean, that is a dynamic clearly going on in society. And at some level, you know, let's look at it, maybe start both personally, but also scripturally, because in some ways, that taking care of your body that is a driving force in our culture today, there is some good scriptural guidance that we're in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is talking about that in the context, if I'm not mistaken, of that's why you're not supposed to hire a prostitute. You're connecting yourself with multiple other people, but our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, of honoring this gift of who we are, of the bodies that God has given us. And so I think this challenge is how do we honor it without obsessing over it?
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, I think in that specific piece of scripture, it goes on to say, we are not our own. Right?
Yeah.
I think I have it right here. We are not our own. You've been bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Yep.
And that was actually a pretty powerful verse for me as I started to change how I even perceived what it meant to be healthy, right? It went from looking a certain way physically to how I felt, if I had more energy, and along those lines. And just what does it look like no matter what I'm doing? How am I honoring God with my body or not?
You know, I think that's a great way of doing it, because there is sort of that shift you're talking about happened for you, of sort of that sense of how does the world see me?
Yeah.
It went from that, how do I look to the world, versus how do I keep who I am, this tool, this vehicle that God has given me to live in this life with? How do I keep that working in a way that I have energy, that I feel good about? So what are some of the things that you do as far as, and do you think, so let me ask you, do you think God cares if we're out of shape?
Maybe not what we consider out of shape according to American standards, because I think I'm considered morbidly obese if I look at the height to weight
BMI scale.
I'm like, oh, wow, I am not excelling in this. But you know what? That doesn't take into factor so many things. Bone density, muscle mass. Like, I mean, who even came up with these charts? Like,
I think doctors.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, maybe some doctor. Doctors have come up with some crazy stuff. Let's be honest. But yes, Well, so I actually think that there is a deep connection between our spiritual well-being and our health and our physical well-being. Because if I'm not getting enough sleep, if I'm not eating right, if I'm eating too much, like that all changes if I'm honoring God in my body or not. Because if I'm tired, I'm probably more irritable. I'm probably more forgetful or anxious, or I, you know, am agitated. If I'm eating too much, right, especially the wrong kinds of food, I found that like a lot of sugar, a lot of sweets, I get like lethargic and my brain can't process. And so I think that there is a way that God wants us to honor him in everything we do, right? Glorify him in everything we do. And I don't think we could be used to the full capacity for which we've been created if we're not taking care of our temples, right? Like our bodies, because I mean, we don't have the energy or the wherewithal or the, you know, stamina to do whatever it is we're being called to do.
You know, I think there is such, and there is a lot of wisdom that we can learn through science today and sort of what our body needs. There's all this talk on sleep. I was just struck in my own experience of this in my life, that I tend to be either in a downward sort of spiral and an upward one. Yeah. So that sometimes the healthier I start acting, the more I want healthy things in my life. So I just had this example yesterday. I went
I thought you were going to say like the healthier, like you go like this and then you like turn your hand, like you do a muscle thing. And
no,
like,
I was not saying that.
It's over there, Connie.
Don't do that too much. But yesterday after church and had another gathering, a new member gathering, and then I went home and took my Sunday afternoon nap, but then I went out for a bike ride. And it was really windy, so it was sort of a hard workout for about an hour and a half I was riding. And then later in the evening, I just found that I was I drink a lot of Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke, whatever, but I was just craving water.
Yeah.
That I was just craving something that was probably healthier for me.
Your body's like, please stop putting this Diet Pepsi inside of me.
No, I need some of it.
The Christ in you was like, stop it.
I think that the piece was that when we start doing healthier things, we often long for healthier things. That we're starting, and so I think it does, those things tend to feed on themselves either in a positive direction or in a negative direction. And what you said earlier also about emotions, when we're when we aren't getting the sleep, we're not able to control our tongues maybe as well. We're not able to be angry but do not sin, because we just get angry and it just erupts out of us. And so I think all of those things, it's hard to live a Christ-like life if we're exhausted all the time, we're filling our bodies with unhealthy stuff.
And let's be honest, like here in America, like most, if not almost all of our food is processed with a whole bunch of weird things that I can't even pronounce. And we don't even know what these things do to our bodies, right? As of yet. But there's lots of different documentaries. Did you see that one, Super Size Me?
Oh, I just heard about it, but yeah, no, where the guy,
he goes on like strictly McDonald's, and he was vegan or something before, and he gets like depressed and he's crying there with the burger. Like, I don't know why I need to eat this, but it makes me feel better. And I was like, I know, I understand you. Like, I'm like, if you've been there where you eat that kind of food all the time, it is addictive. There's even chemicals which within the cheese that they use, which is likened to cocaine. So think about what it does to our bodies. And
did you read that on the internet?
No, that was actually in the documentary.
Oh,
thank
it was.
You.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
I think I'm just getting everything off TikTok.
So I do think that sense that if our bodies are a gift from God, to treat them with respect. And so it does matter what we fill our bodies with, what we do with them. And I mean, I think there is sometimes, though, in our culture today where we obsess over our looks, or we obsess with, I have to keep my body perfect in ways that there is no perfect body. I mean, we all have parts of it that we go like, I like that, I don't like that, and who I am and how I feel about myself. Yeah. So I think there's this danger of ignoring our bodies and not taking them – not treating them as a temple, but also God doesn't want us to obsess over them either. Absolutely. As if I do everything to keep my body perfect, that somehow I'm perfect. There's a whole lot more to life.
Right. Well, and not just that, but whose idea of perfection?
Oh, great point.
Because I mean, not only culturally, but then also beauty is defined on the region, and it's also defined on the decade or the era, or I mean, bodies have changed. When I was teaching the teenagers, I showed them how bodies have literally changed. And what was considered very attractive, right, in around 1200 was not, around the 1800s was not, or now it's all very different. And it's, you know, it's interesting to have them, you know, think outside that, like, yeah, wait a minute, who's defining this beauty first mm-hmm. off? Because then mm-hmm. we're chasing opposites,
yeah.
right? We're either trying to put on weight, take off weight, put on muscle, take off, you know, it's like, it's a rat race of a lie.
Well, as you said, and to me, there's a big difference between beauty and health.
Right.
That someone can be healthy, even though it isn't this sort of like perfect society idealized, this is what a body should look like,
right.
that we can be healthy in different sizes and different shapes, yeah. but are we doing the things that continue to give us energy?
Right.
And what are the things that then drain our energy,
yeah.
that help us, that don't allow us to live into our calling? I mean, if I'm always tired because I'm not getting enough sleep, how can I be ready to serve my neighbor when they ask me they need some help? How can yeah. I be ready to help out if I'm just putting crap inside of me and so I'm feeling crappy?
Yeah. You know, my daughter's fiance now, because yes, he is proposing to her. She doesn't know yet, but it's fine. They'll do it after they see this, so it'll be fine.
Yeah,
she hasn't done it yet.
This is going online. You better not.
Yeah,
have
I know.
That go
not
out.
Not yet. It'll be after that. Perfect.
Okay.
After that time. But so he's a trainer at Orange Theory, right? And so the way the body looks is extremely important. And they're young. You know, he's 24. And so I got him for Christmas a Yeti, and on the Yeti I put 1 Timothy 4:8. Your physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things.
Love it.
Yes. And so I just thought that was so important, because it's like, yes, your physical body, taking care of ourselves is important. I'm not going to say that, but it's also, how are you refining not just your muscles, but your heart? How are you working your heart out? How are you working empathy out? How are you working your eyeballs out in a way where you see others like Christ? Like, there's a lot of things that we need to be working on that I think are in conjunction with physical and how we care for ourselves, but definitely looking like Christ internally, I think takes more precedence.
I think it does too. And I think that's a great, great comparison and great point to make, that I think you said it better than I did, but I think that's when we get obsessed in this culture with how we look and, yeah. and what's the perfection of healthy, that God may be more concerned with our character than our outward appearance.
Yeah.
And so when we're so focused on the outward appearance, it may even be the evil's ones distracting us from where we need to put some attention.
Absolutely. Take something good, right? And then has us hyper focus on it. It's like, that is the psychology of evil. I read this book like forever ago, and he goes on to say that the psychology of evil is literally to take a truth and put a lie over it.
Hmm.
So that you are confused. You're like, wait a minute, this is what I feel good when I look like this. I feel more confident. I do. Oh, you know, that's the truth, right? Like, you're feeling healthier, you're looking better. And the lie is that this is so important, it's going to change your life. It's going to get you the job you want. You're going to have an amazing marriage. Like, when the truth is, it doesn't matter what you look like. I mean, it's not what makes or breaks those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. One of the other things that I, when looking through scripture, when just as a woman, I think we wrestle with this a lot, just the importance of moderation and not gluttony. And I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, so I'm gluttonous by nature. That's like my sin, right? Like overindulgence of everything. Like, oh, good wine, let's have more. Chocolate, why not the whole thing, right? And I came across 1 Samuel 2:28, that where God really, he rebukes Eli and his sons for just overindulging in all the meat. They were priests in the temple. People would bring sacrifices, and it was normative to have them take some of the meat, right? Mm-hmm. And so Eli apparently became so large that he had fallen off the chair and like broke his neck or something. And it goes on to say, why do you honor your sons more than, why do you honor your sons more than me? By fattening yourselves on choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel. And so, you know, just God, anything we put before God, whether it's overindulgence in food, you know, excessive exercise, whatever we put in the place before God, and our relationship with God and looking like Christ, I think that's when we miss the mark.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, the word you used before, moderation, that, you know, our bodies are a temple, and yet when we take that to excess, you know, and sort of just obsess over that, we can't enjoy sometimes the simple gifts of a food that we do enjoy. Yeah. And, you know, I just was reading recently in Ecclesiastes where, again, Solomon came back to this sense of saying, you know, that, you know, as I've observed everything, that at some level God's calling is to enjoy the life that he has given us and to enjoy food and drink and to celebrate the gifts of God and to delight in his goodness. And so I think there is this sense of that when we go like, oh, I can never, never, never have that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe those are good things to enjoy.
It's absolutely.
Just at what level? And that's where I think God cares that we're in shape so that we can live lives of loving God and loving our neighbor, but not in this obsessive, excessive way, but keeping our bodies strong, keeping them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think when we are enjoying these things, like what is the intention? What is the purpose, right? Is it to enjoy something and go, wow, this is an amazing piece of fruit or cake or whatever it is, right? And actually thanking God for it. When I came across Proverbs 25:16, he goes on to say, if you find honey, eat just enough, too much of it, and you will vomit. And so that reminds me, and it's true, too much of anything is not a good thing.
Yeah.
And yes, these things are here. They're meant to be enjoyed. Let's have them. Jesus was feasting with people and drinking and having a great time, but he wasn't doing it to the extent that he was vomiting.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think the wisdom comes in to that.
I think it does. You know, another is I was just thinking about this topic, Mo, this past week and getting ready for it. I love how God just brings images to mind, and God brought a person to mind. The Joni Erickson Tada. You know Joni, she's a woman who, at like 17 years old, she dove into the water and hit something underwater and severed her neck, and she was a quadriplegic.
Oh, wow.
Tragedy. And yet, she's been in a wheelchair for the last 50 years, or for a long time she was. But she ended up becoming this woman who, as a believer in Jesus, began to start sharing stories of how can I still follow God in my wheelchair? How can I still find joy in the moments that I have?
I love that.
She started this whole website, Joni and Friends, and she learned how to paint with a paintbrush in her mouth because she couldn't.
I remember seeing some stuff on
this. And so this is someone where we say, you know, does God care if we are in shape? Yeah, he wants us to use the bodies that we have, but sometimes our bodies can't do a lot in the world's view, and yet we still can make an impact. Joni Erickson Tada made a much bigger impact in this world than I'm ever going to make, and she was in a wheelchair for the majority of her adult life. And so I think that's also the thing is God can use us whatever shape, condition we're in, either because of things we've done or accidents or just how we were born into this world, God can use us. Are we, and it's just how do we take care of our bodies so that we can be a blessing to others? And so I just thought of Joni's life and just what a blessing she was for so many and an inspiration for so many. It was just a beautiful thing.
Work with what God gave you, right?
Like, you betcha.
How do we do this?
Yeah.
And what does that look like? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Have you ever, was it a big thing? I don't know. The Daniel fast. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it, but I've never done it.
Okay. That was like a huge thing with some of my girlfriends and I, and it was all about, you know, taking out different foods and eating just fruits and vegetables. And what I took away from that is not so much like, oh, this is what God wants you to eat, because some of them went a little excessive. But I loved what came out of it, which was almost like a spiritual practice. So one of the things was, first, it was a commitment to God, right? Daniel made a decision that I'm not going to do this. I'm going to honor God by remaining faithful to his command. So I'm not going to eat that rich food and drink that wine like the king had wanted him to. But it came out of like self-discipline for his commitment to God.
Yep.
And I thought that was really beautiful. And in that, not only did he grow more spiritually, but he had more energy than the rest of them. And so he grew physically, he grew spiritually. And I think when both of those things are aligned, right? And he trusted God that just on water, just on vegetables, because of the why, right? I'm doing it because I want to honor God and glorify God. And so I think whatever we're given, you know, it is in our weakness that God shines the brightest. And that's how God's miracles, I think, are shown today. Is because without the presence of God, people look and go with some situations, like you were just saying, and she's painting and has this amazing website. Like, if it wasn't for something bigger than just her working in and through her, her is the temple, right, of the presence of God, then we just wouldn't be able to live into these things. And that's the beauty of it, to see what God can do in and through our bodies and our hearts.
You know, I got a thought, Mo. Why don't we ask folks to go ahead and put in the comments some food that they really enjoy, but they also find that's good for them, and just let other people share that, things that have been helpful for them in their journey of staying in shape.
Absolutely. What has helped you stay in shape and draw closer to God?
Next time on Unpacking Truths, Jesus didn't say, you know, forgive the person who hurts you if they really deserve it.
Right.
Or forgive them if you really feel like it. Or love your neighbor as yourself as long as it isn't too inconvenient.
Yeah.
He just has these love your neighbor, forgive your neighbor. That and there's a sense that it almost is like that, just do it.
Right.
It is that do it anyway, whether I might feel like it or not. Thanks for tuning in. If anything we said brought up any questions or ideas, let's keep the conversation going in the comments below or email us at unpackingtruths@locchurch.com.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe so we can continue helping people unpack God's truth for their lives.